The following program is brought to you in living color.
Good speech.
Nice and short.
Leaves more time for drinking. Break out the ale! These men are thirsty!
It's the Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for the Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Here, here, drink up. I'll never finish the other three.
Welcome to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, all the vine, all the time. Everything you've ever wanted to know about wine but were afraid to ask. Yes, we are the informative show on the grape, and we are delighted to be bringing you some great guests and some great calls and emails today. Today, we have Joel Aiken. He is now a winemaking consultant, but he is known from his days at Beaulieu Vineyards. He is with Amici Cellars. This man has done a little bit of everything, and I'm sure will be a very entertaining and informative guest. And also, we have Caleb Mosley. He is from Ridge Vineyards, and yes, we have done several people from Ridge, but what's neat is Caleb is a viticulturist. He's going to talk to us a little bit about dirt, a little bit about vines, and I recently had the pleasure of meeting Caleb, and I know that it will not be the boring, trudgesome stories that we usually get out of the vineyard.
Well, dirt is always exciting to me, I can tell you that.
Well, if you get good dirt on people, then yes, but when you just talk about dirt as a whole, I'm like you, I'll just sit over here and take a nap and we'll just let it roll.
That's right.
All right, so that is our show for today, and a lot of interesting news, a lot of great things going on. Of course, it is finally almost spring, almost. We're starting to see 70-degree weather, starting to get warm, starting to get pleasant. So, of course, all of our attitudes are changing, and we're bright and bubbly, like we said in the last show. So we're going to try and restrain ourselves and not bubble ourselves to death before it's all said and done. But on a more serious note, I have two interesting wine recommendations today. But to start out very seriously, at this moment, we'd like to pay tribute to a legend who has passed in the wine business. And Kent, I know this is a man you're going to know very, very well. All I have to do is say Fess Parker and what comes to mind.
And I did not know till last week that he was in the wine industry.
Well, that's all we know him for. It took me forever to learn about all the coonskin hats and all that kind of stuff. Yes, the great legend Fess Parker has passed away. For those of you who don't know his wines, I'm sure you know in 1954, he was the Disney Man of the Hour doing Davy Crockett. And then in 64, he turned around and became Daniel Boone. Now, I don't know about you. I remember being a child and getting the coonskin caps confused, not really sure which one was which. But, of course, both of them are great, great shows and definitely made his legacy a little bit better. From what he got off those two shows in 1987, he started buying hotels. And he has some of the most amazing hotels and resorts down in the Santa Barbara area. And, of course, in 1989, he and his son Eli got together and created Fess Parker Wines. Now, the wines that come out of his vineyards, they have gotten great press by Parker. They are well-known. They are branching out in the Rhone varietals. But I think a lot of interesting things that happen. For those of you who can't identify Fess Parker, I want you to think of the movie Sideways. And when Miles was running through the vineyard with the dump bucket, trying to drink everything that was in the dump bucket, those beautiful vineyards you saw were Fess Parker's.
I did not know that.
So, of course, our hats off to Mr. Fess. He truly was a giant among men. I will say this. He and his son quite possibly are two of the largest men I have ever met in my life. When you look back on the old TV shows, whether it's Davy Crockett or Daniel Boone, and you look at the people around him, it doesn't really click until you meet this man in person. Seriously, I think he was 6'8", close to 300 pounds, and he was not a fat man. He was just a large man.
Just large, yeah.
I probably had the pleasure of meeting he and his son about 15 years ago. And for those of you who have seen my pictures or know me, unless I'm in heels, I am 5'4", flat, and I'm a little person. And I just remember Eli, after several martinis, looking down and saying, "Oh, you're just so cute. I'm going to put you in the palm of my hand." And he really could have. I spent the whole next 3 days wondering about my neck, if it was ever going to be the same from having cricks of looking up and trying to listen to them. But yes, Fess Parker has passed away and is certainly a loss for the wine business. But out to Eli and to the Ashley and the rest of the family, our hearts and thoughts are with you at this time. So because of that, our white recommendation is something off the beaten track. As I said, Fess Parker is known for their Rhone varietals, and I'm going to recommend the 2008 Fess Parker Viognier today, V-I-O-G-N-I-E-R. And it's a great wine as we start introducing ourselves to spring and hopefully some fresh vegetables and some new things coming in. This is just an amazing wine. Mostly Viognier, has a little Roussanne in it. It tastes of peaches, vanilla, pineapple. You get a real floral flavor to it. My friends and I argue and say, oh, it's a cute little white flowers. Tastes kind of like you would expect a gardenia to taste. You get butterscotch on the finish. This is just really a really good non-everyday drinking wine. So I definitely recommend y'all go out and test it. Like I said, Fess Parker Viognier. Now, for our red recommendation today, I'm going to kind of ball all this up in one, too. You've heard me talk about Pine Ridge Vineyards and Pine Ridge with their Dijon Clone Chardonnay I've recommended before. Of course, all of us know their cabs, their reserve cabernets. They have started a new concept, and it's called Forefront. And Forefront is tribute to the Andrus family. You know, they're always at the forefront of what they do. But what I think is great about this, this goes hand in hand with what I've talked to you about great wineries doing second labels. Forefront is the second label for Pine Ridge. And what they've done is they picked three great varietals. Obviously, they're going to do a Cabernet from Napa Valley. The Cabernet is what I'm recommending today, Forefront 2007 Cab. It's almost all Cabernet, has a little Syrah, a little Merlot in it, but it's just got a lot of blackberry, a lot of blueberry, a lot of great cassis flavors that really make you stand up and pay attention. The red fruit in this, of course, is great with the red cherry, but as it finishes, you know, even though this is an inexpensive Cabernet, you definitely can find it for under $20, it tastes out of the bottle like a $50 or $60 Cabernet. You can definitely tell that there is some of the true Pine Ridge Cabernet juice in Forefront. So that's our red recommendation. But as long as you're shopping for Forefront, they're also doing a 2008 Sauvignon Blanc. Now, this is not something that they usually do. Obviously, Pine Ridge does a Chenin Blanc Viognier blend, but to do a straight Sauvignon Blanc is just great. Now, this is very limited. This is going to be hard to find. You're going to find it when you can find it for about $16, $17 in your fine wine shops, and it is definitely worth the buy. Once again, we've already done a white recommendation, but look for the Forefront white. And also what's cool is when you find companies doing second labels and private labels, you expect, okay, Pine Ridge is going to do Napa, Napa, Napa. Well, the third part of Forefront is a 2008 Pinot Noir, and it's from the Willamette Valley. So people are kind of looking around, okay, I have a Cab from Napa, I have a Sauvignon Blanc from Napa, where am I getting Pinot Noir? Of course, Pine Ridge is tied in with Archery Summit, so the wines coming out of there are phenomenal. So your white recommendation today is Fess Parker Viognier 2008. Your red wine recommendation is Forefront Cabernet, but I do encourage all of you to check out this new launch and this new release. It's well worth your time with the whole vineyard. So as we're off and rolling today, we try and come up with a theme for the show. We try. I realize I am very hard to stay on task and on point, but a lot of emails and a lot of news items we're seeing right now bring to question the long run of wine. You know, where are we going in the long run? What's happening? You know, you hear about vineyards closing. You hear about wineries closing. You hear about growers not being able to sell their grapes. You look at the grocery store shelves and see vintages that are vintage behind. Well, where does this leave us as consumers, as restaurateurs, as wine shop owners? What's going to happen to us in the next, 18 months? And there's been a lot of speculation, a lot of talk about what you can expect from pricing and what you can expect in the market. And I don't think anyone has a crystal ball in predict it, but I do see some amazing things happening. We're seeing great trends on restaurant wine list, which one of your emails has pointed out, and I look forward to getting to. We're seeing trends in wineries, whether they're consolidating or buying up other acreage so that they can say someone with a Harlan, he's bought some extra acres, so now we can have more Harlan out in the market. I think in the long run, it's a positive outlook, and that's what today's show is going to focus on, doing different things and trying to see where we're going to be in the near future. But of course, we want to hear from you, and to do that, you need to call us 877-4CRUSH-1 or email us lauralawson@winecrush.com. We're going to take a small break right now, but when we return, we're going to have Joel Aiken on the show.
Check out winecrush.com for weekly wine recommendations, recipes, blogs, and news items.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem.
Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
I have a structured settlement and needed my money. Waiting over time to receive payments wasn't working, so I contacted CBC Settlement Funding. They helped me turn my structured settlement into immediate cash. If you're receiving a structured settlement spread out over time and you want a lump sum amount immediately, you need to call now. I purchased a local bakery with my lump sum, a goal I thought I would never reach. Now I make my own dough. I always wanted to operate my own business, and thanks to CBC Settlement Funding, we are open for business. Structured settlements are commonly used to resolve personal injury lawsuits. Annuities are designed to spread payments out over 10 or 20 years.
If you have a structured settlement and you want cash now, call CBC Settlement Funding for fast cash today. 800-203-3517. 800-203-3517. 3517. 800-203-3517.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor. Or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Well, right now we had the pleasure of having Joel Aiken on The Crush. And Joel is one of the legends in the business. He's one of the first winemakers I ever met there at that beautiful, beautiful establishment, BV. And for those of you who are familiar with the winery, Joel is the man who is BV modern day. He basically took it over from Techelchef and made it into what it is now. So it's with great pleasure. Joel, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's nice to have you on the show. You have such new, fresh perspective. I'm so used to talking about you and BV. You've got so many new, exciting things happening.
Well, I do. I'm still involved with BV, but I get to do the fun stuff. I just work on making Georges de Latour Reserve Cabernet, and that's all I do there. I don't go to any of the meetings, so it's just fun winemaking.
See, I've been very fortunate the last couple of weeks. I had Ed Sabraja on last week, and he calls in, and he says, "Well, yeah, I just kind of play with the Behringer Private Reserve Cabernet." And now I have you on, And you get to just play with a BV Reserve Cabernet. I want you boys' jobs.
Well, what did it take him? 30 years to be able to do that, and I did it in 27. So
you upstart.
It's fun to do that, but really what I wanted to do was make my own wine. My wife makes her wine, and I was kind of jealous that she could work from home and have something that was not just associated with her, but that was definitely her. And so I'm making my own wine now, started last year, and have a couple of other clients that it's kind of fun to come in and work with a new client and try to develop their style to really respect what their property can give them for, you know, making the best Cabernet. So it is a lot of fun.
Well, I would imagine that you're in great demand. I mean, working with BV, y'all pretty much had Rutherford tied up for years. So what's it like to go out and make wine from someplace besides Rutherford?
Well, it's great. You know, BV actually, through decades and decades, has made more Napa Cabernet than anyone else. So in addition to Rutherford, we've had a couple thousand tons a year from Spring Mountain, from other parts of the valley up to Calistoga, down to Carneros. So those were all going into Napa blends, and now I can, you know, see what I saw in those individual components working with other wineries and try to sculpt a wine from maybe Howell Mountain into a modern wine that, you know, is showing the character of the vineyard, the terroir, but still be not something that's rock hard like we used to make 30 years ago that you would have for your kids when they became 21 years old. So
yes, I still have some of those in my cellar.
Yeah, so do I.
Well,
but
I think
no, it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it a lot.
Well, of course, it's a great opportunity for you. I've got to ask the question. I do want to hear about Aiken Wines. I haven't had a chance to try them. I don't know much about them, but even with a name like yours, you look at what's happening in the valley, and people are worried about the long run of Napa Valley, all the vineyards closing, all the problem with growers. Has it been stressful, even with your pedigree, opening a winery?
Well, I've got to say one nice thing is I just started in 2009, so I'm making the wine. I'm not selling it. I've got another year or two, so we hope the economy gets a little bit better. But yeah, it's been, you know, I think as far as most of us who are in the industry today, these times are as tough for sales as any time we've seen. But we have noticed in the last few months, so I'd say since the holidays, regions here and there, you know, a state is starting to pick up a few more cases than they used to. And I think, I don't know that we'll be back to as good a times as we had 3 or 4 years ago, but that's probably okay when there were 20 new wineries every few months that had $100 or $200 Cabernet and no background, no history. So, you know, it's probably going to help us get back to get a little bit grounded as far as grape prices, wine prices. And I think it's kind of painful to go through, but probably the best thing for competition. And I think Napa will continue to endure. There's so many great vineyard sites and great potential that, you know, we're starting to see it turn the corner slowly. So it's going to come back, but, you know, we're going to take baby steps, I think, before we're really happy and healthy again.
Well, I think we have to, and I think it was a correction that was long overdue. But enough about all that depressing stuff. Tell us about Aiken Wines. What are you dabbling in? What are you playing with?
Well, I had to make a Cabernet since that's what I've done for 27 years. So I actually opted to go out of Rutherford and up to the hills. So I've got a Howell Mountain Cabernet that is resting comfortably in barrels. And I made a Pinot Noir that I ventured even further. I went out of Napa and went to Sonoma Mountain.
Oh, so wow.
Both hillside vineyards.
You traitor.
Well, you know, I'm expanding. I'm kind of following in Andrei Chelychev's footsteps.
Yes, you are.
The first place he started consulting was Jordan Winery in Sonoma. So, you know, I'll probably make a Pinot Noir from Carneros as well, but I had a great opportunity to get some fruit that normally isn't available, and I jumped on it. And so I love the wines. They're looking great, and the label we're working on, so I don't have a label or a website up and running yet for Aiken Wines, just the consulting business, but Aiken Wines is coming soon.
Well, we are certainly looking forward to seeing that, definitely with your history and your background, plus your personality. I mean, that's one thing. It's always fun to be able to taste a BV or some of the wines you've been involved in blind, because you do put your fingerprint on your wines. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, it is It's fun. Sometimes I get tasting blind. I don't recognize them, but more often than not, I do. And it is great to see Georges de Latour and see how it ages through the years.
Well, it is, and hopefully we'll be seeing the same for Aiken. When do you think we're going to see a release on Aiken?
Probably the Pinot will be about a year from now. I've got to see how it ages for the, you know, this spring and summer, and see if I bottle it before or after crush. If it's after next harvest, then it'd probably be summer, so 15 months from now. But it's tasting pretty good right now, so I'm thinking of bottling it before harvest.
That's just a testament to your patience. If I were in your shoes, even though I joked about I want your job, I'd be running down there every day, staring at the barrels. Okay, are you ready yet? Are you ready yet? Or I'd be sipping it and thieving enough of it that there wouldn't be enough left to bottle by the time it got around to bottling.
Well, I have enough barrels that I can go every week and bring a little bottle home, and we can have it with dinner and still have plenty left over to bottle up and sell for next year.
Well, we're looking forward to having that. Hey, you mentioned your wife was a winemaker as well. Is there a friendly competition involved in the house, or how does this work?
Oh, you know, I think we get along pretty well with it. I haven't had my own brand, so it's been BV, which is huge, versus Meander, which is Amy's brand. And she's been making a Napa Cabernet since 2003 from two great vineyards, Llewelling and Morisoli, which are both fourth and fifth generation growers. So great, great, you know, valley floor fruit, Rutherford Bench for Morisoli. And we tend to help each other out. I don't get in her way because it's her project. And she's been in the industry for over 20 years, having started at Joseph Phelps. And Meander is, you know, her Cabernet brand, and then she actually has another brand called Conspire, where she just started making Sauvignon Blanc and Pinot Noir.
I love it. So we can conspire to meander off the beaten track.
There you go. You'll have to chat with her on one of these shows.
I think we'll have to. And it's always nice to get a point and counterpoint, especially like I was saying, with both of y'all making wines. I can see my fiancé now, if we were both in the same business. We're in adjunct businesses as it is, and we butt into each other all the time, so my heart goes out to your patients.
Well, that's part of the reason I went up in the hills, because she's down in the valley floor, and I said, well, I know how to make some wine from the hills, so let me try that.
Let's find a compromise. Well, Joel, it's always nice to talk to you and to find out that you're actually exploring, you're getting to do great new things. You have certainly earned it.
Well, thank you. I'm having a lot of fun in my second part of my career here.
Well, hopefully we will be seeing Aiken Wine soon, and of course we'll be reviewing here on The Crush and letting everyone know how wonderful they are. Joel, thank you very much for being on The Crush, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to take a small break right now, but when we return, some of your emails to get the show going.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch, increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts? American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their roiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Listening to The Wine Crush, I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay-sipping diva. And right now, we've come to the portion of the show that's all about you. But of course, for a show to be all about you, I have to hear from you. So call me, 877-4-CRUSH-1, and leave a call on the wine line. Or you can email me directly at lauralawson@winecrush.com. Or, of course, check us out on Facebook, Wine Crush Radio Show, and join one of our interesting discussions. We don't have to be as censored there, so it's always a little bit of fun. That, and of course, we can make fun of Kent freely. Which
I can censor anything I need to.
Yes, I know, which is why we enjoy the Facebook thing.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Well, of course, this is all about you, and I do have some interesting emails this week. I have one from Kenny in Chicago. And Kenny writes, I have noticed that restaurants around Chicago are coming up with value menus, both wine and small plates. I understand a lot of economy relief sales, but why is this something that restaurateurs are just now bringing to the consumer? Is this something they could have done all along, or they just wanted to charge us high prices? Well, Kenny, I have to agree with you on something. I do think there were a lot of restaurants, particularly like we were just talking with Joel, how there's been a restructuring in wine pricing. I do think a lot of restaurants kind of got a little big for their britches when you would have a small plate of goat cheese and hummus and pita bread, and it was $14 for the plate. So I do appreciate the fact that some of these prices are coming down. But I have to agree with you on the value menu for the simple concept of I think it's great. And as a wine advocate and as someone who's in the business and, of course, someone who eats out entirely more than she should, I'm lucky I even own a refrigerator at this point. I think it's just to keep my Chardonnay cold. There are great things happening, especially in the area I have been visiting, both in the Southeast, the Northeast, and, of course, out in the West Coast. I'm seeing a great trend in restaurants. Now, the restaurants still have their big book wine list. You can still go through, and if you want a Paul Meyer, if you want a Dellinger, if you want a Jordan Cabernet, if you want a BV George Latour 2006, yes, all of those are still on the list. But I'm seeing these fresh, special printed things. The one I'm seeing most is 20 for 20. I've seen some 30 for 30. I've seen some 25 for 25. I even saw someone do 24 and a half for 24 and a half, which I have to give them credit. The half bottle was cute. But what I'm referring to, 20 bottles of wine for $20. 24 and a half bottles of wine for $24.50. So what they do is on those 24 wines, everything that's on that list, you pay a flat $24 fee for. And I think it's a good way for people to experiment. If you listen to the show from 18 months ago, we talked about wine by the glass programs. We talked about going to your local neighborhood places that were offering a great range of by the glass or offering flights so you could sit down and try a little bit of everything. Well, let's face facts, as the economy weakened, people went back to their big brand names, the ones they were comfortable with. If I'm going to spend $14 on a glass of Chardonnay, I want to know what's in that glass. I want to know that I'm going to enjoy it. Now, this is what's come out of the economy relief, are these little wine lists. And let's face facts, if you're sitting around with a group of girlfriends or you and the guys are out after work and two of you are going to have a glass of wine, it's going to be, before tax, I guarantee you it's going to be $16, $17 for two glasses of wine, even if you drink reasonably. These new lists give you an opportunity for just four more, six more, 10 more additional dollars to get four full glasses of wine as something you may not ordinarily try. And what I like most about these lists that I'm seeing is they're doing some off varietals. Just like I talked a long time ago about doing different wines by the glass besides Chardonnay, anything but Cabernet, you can go on these and get the values. You can look at Malbecs. You can look at Gruner Veltliners. They have great Sauvignon Blancs on this. Now, granted, most of these still have Chardonnay, Cabernet, and Merlot on it, but what usually are the great values are going to be the off varietals, Viognier, Sancerre, just some fun stuff. And I know that most of the restaurants, they're taking a hit on these lists so they can get people branching out and trying something different. I can speak for most restaurateurs when they would rather you come in and try four different bottles off the $24 list than to actually go and buy just one bottle off the big list and pay $110 for it. So I do agree with you. I am seeing a lot of these value menus pop up. I hope it's something that's here to stay. I know that I've seen it so prevalent in restaurants that I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon, but it's definitely worth looking into. Conversely, too, when you look at the food menus, chances are they're doing small plates or they're doing some kind of more elongated appetizers. So great time to be a diner, great time to be a consumer. Go out, look for these lists. And if you're not finding them, ask for the sommelier. Ask for the people, hey, listen, you know, I love the big old expensive wines, but where's your value page? I want values. Now's the time to demand it because they're definitely out there. Well, Kenny, I hope that helped. I can't say I agree with you 100%, but at least it gave you a really, really good way to be my soapbox for the day. Actually, if we're talking about wine lists and we're talking about things that are ridiculous, I did find an article. It was in the Chicago Tribune. Thank you, Lenny. I wonder if this came from you to begin with. That some of the restaurants on the West Coast, this is where this is starting, San Francisco, Santa Barbara, LA, that they are putting a new charge on your dinner tab, and it's called a health fee. And because of the way certain legislator has been rolling, that restaurateurs are passing on to you, the consumer, and literally putting it on the bill and on the receipt, health fee, $3. And I don't know. If I didn't know about this, this would concern me because I get my receipt health fee. My God, what do you have in the back that has to be disposed of? Why are you charging me a charge so I can be healthy? Am I overweight? But no, seriously, they are charging you so that they can play their employees' insurance. So I think that's an interesting way of passing it on. It's bad enough that some of these restaurants are sitting there at 150%, 200% markup. That the steak that you could go to Harris Teeter or go to a grocery store and buy for, oh, I don't know, $14, they're going to charge you $40 on, but they're still going to tack on $3, $4, $5 so they can pay insurance to their employees.
Why stop there? Why don't we pay their car payment, too, or something?
I think so. What about a mortgage fee?
Sure, why not?
Mortgage fee, spa fee. You know, every day I go to work, I chip a nail or something. I ought to submit spa that, fee? Definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that Wine Crush, we need to put a fee for my nails, definitely a fee for my patients, and of course for the counseling fee that I need after being abused.
There you go.
So anyway, like I'm saying, go out, look for the value price places. But when y'all go to a restaurant and you wind up seeing a health fee on your check, two things. One, don't go back because you know they're gouging you elsewhere. But secondly, demand it be removed off your check. That's absolutely asinine. All right, we're going to take a small break right now. But when we come back, we're going to have Caleb Mosley from Ridge joining us here on The Crush.
Visit winecrush.com for guest information, wine recommendations, and more. This is the Wine Crush.
You've been hearing and seeing good things about Z-Max Microlubricant everywhere, and you're curious, what is Z-Max Microlubricant? Well, it's the only pure microlubricant that penetrates into the metal of your engine to clean out deposit buildup, improve gas mileage, and your engine's performance. Go ahead, get a bottle, add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It's easy to do. Get Z-Max at a retail performance partner near you, and you'll experience a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. Z-Max it.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815.
Don't let your car or truck turn into a clunker. Z-Max. Z-Max, added to your oil and your gas tank, can clean internal engine components and fuel systems, reduce engine wear, and give you better mileage. Z-Max is a pure micro-lubricant that gives you a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. These are some big claims, but they've all been backed up by some of the most rigorous testing in the industry. Z-Max micro-lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts retailer.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you'll realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be. They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Right now, we had the pleasure of having Caleb Mosley on the show, and I know that we've done a lot of bridge in the past. I mean, long ago, we were fortunate enough to have Don Risen, and we've kind of moved through a lot of different people. But what's interesting about Caleb is I know we always have a lot of questions about viticulture, and I am very hesitant, usually, to bring a grape guy onto the show. I've made the mistake in the past and found some older gentlemen, and they talked long enough that I think some of y'all fell asleep and ran off the road. But Caleb is an exception. He is part of the new frontier, so to speak, coming into California. He's young. He's hip. Recently had the pleasure of meeting him along with some other females, and I swear half the females who met him fell in love with him instantly, and I know that all of you will too. Caleb, welcome to The Crush.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. You've got me blushing already before I even started talking to you, so I'll do my best here with you. Thank you very much for having me, though. It's a great pleasure to be talking with you.
It's fun. You know, Caleb, I would never do anything to unnerve you. I promise. I don't deliberately scare people.
No worries.
All right. Great. Well, like I said in the introduction, it's always interesting to have people on the show that have different wine perspective, and I do mean it sincerely. Anytime you hear someone who's a viticulturist from somewhere, you think, oh my God, I'm going to have to hear about dirt and pH and balance and what's in it and the nitrogen content, and I swear my eyes droop. But you're not like this. Tell us about your job and how you perceive it.
Well, my job is interesting that every day is is completely different for me, and I'm not necessarily always going out there looking for balancing the proper pH or, you know, looking for each individual mineral within the soil. It's more of kind of looking at the vines and having them tell you what they need and when to irrigate and when to look for different fertilizers you can use, when to look for different pests within the vineyard. And it's really a unique way of growing, and it's a little bit more old school in terms of looking at everything and not getting too tied into your office, looking at spreadsheets and data all day. It's much more about getting out in the actual vineyard, looking at the vines, seeing how they're growing, seeing what they're telling you, and kind of moving from there.
So you're out there talking to the plants, and they talk back. That would concern me. Are you smoking the plants while you're out there, or are you just entertaining yourself?
Although they do grow plenty of that particular plant around the vineyards that we grow here in the Santa Cruz Mountains, nothing of that going on in our particular vineyards. But it's great. I mean, basically everything that you're looking for underneath, within your climate, within your soil, can be told to you by what the vine is doing. If it's in an area where it's on the top of a hill, there's not as much topsoil there, there's not as much rain that's falling in that particular area, the vine's going to express it. And if you can have a keen enough eye to go out there and pick it up, you can farm it a little bit differently throughout the year, harvest it differently at the end of it, and create a whole bunch of tiny little wonderful parcels that all have the ultimate expression of that particular block. So
it's a
great way to do it.
We know Ridge is good. Y'all have so many great different single vineyards. But I think we're talking kind of about the long run here today on The Crush, about what we see for the long run of wine. And I think we got in a position where a lot of these big wineries, you know, they relied on their growers to say, okay, we're picking now. And I wondered how many of them actually ever got dirt on their boots. Mm-hmm. And it's a testament to Ridge that you're out there every day in the vineyard saying, this is right, this is wrong. I mean, you're truly hands-on.
Right, and it's great. It's the continuity between one of the reasons Ridge has had such high quality for so long is that we've basically kind of capped ourselves in terms of how much wine we want to produce to make sure that we're out there along with the winemakers in the vineyard during the growing season, during the harvest season, looking at the individual blocks and deciding where to pick, you know, where we need to improve. And it's the great part about my job where I feel like I'm blessed to be a viticulturist here because I'm involved in all the production tastings as well. So when we're assembling, you know, the Lytton Springs or the Geyserville or a Montebello, I'm sitting in there with the winemakers, and we're talking about all the different individual, you know, how the harvest season went in the last year, as well as how the vineyard blocks are performing. So not only am I out there throughout the season, it's the vineyard managers, the viticulturists, and the winemakers are out there looking at things too. So it's the whole system you got to look at. There's lots of other wineries where, you know, the fruit gets delivered, the winemaker says thanks, and they go from there. So it's great to have that continuity in all levels of the production team, and it's a great team to be a part of, that's for sure.
Well, I think you are as much important to the final output of the wine, almost, in the winemaker. Because the winemaker, he's going to put his thumbprint on it. He's going to make it taste like it's however he thinks it's supposed to taste, which is why I never understand, like, Melka and Roland driving around and everyone tasting the same. But you can see it from as it progresses. You take care of the grapes. You know when to crop. You know when to cut. You know when to actually do the best so that grape can be the happiest little California grape it can be.
Exactly right, and it's kind of interesting, you know, it's starting all up for me one more time again. We just noticed bud break in the Chardonnay vines here up at Montebello.
Ooh, take very good care of my Chardonnay. Caleb, take very good care of my Chardonnay.
Oh, I will, definitely will.
I'll hunt you down if you hurt that Santa Cruz.
It demands the most of my attention, that's for sure. It's pretty finicky out there compared to some of the robust Cabernet that we grow. But it's kind of like the beginning of the cycle again, and from this moment on, I'm taking, you know, into account what's going on in the vineyard throughout the entire growing season and kind of deciding already how I'm going to harvest or how I'm going to, you know, manage my cover crops or what we're going to do in that regard. So it's great that I'm outside all the time, but I also love being able to get inside and taste with the winemakers and hear some feedback from their point of view too.
Well, I have a question for you, and I'm not deliberately trying to blindside you. You can tell me, nope, we're going to change the topic if you want to.
All right, let's hear it.
There was an article in the LA Times in the last 2 weeks that talked about Zinfandel-based field wines that are hampered by the fact that the wines have to read 75% on the bottle.
Right.
And Ridge was actually even cited in the article.
My boss, David Gates. He was quoted as talking about our Geyserville vineyard, the field blend that it is there.
And as a viticulturist, as you're walking through, I assume you're capable of saying Zinfandel, Carignan, Grenache, you being able to go through it. But what do you think? Ultimately, look at these grapevines. Y'all are the Zinfandel heart and soul of America. And you look at what's coming out of there. Doesn't it make sense that some of the blends have to be there? I mean, my God, look at Chianti. Look at all the different ones we've come from the old world. It seems like it's a good thing, isn't it?
Right. I love it. And I think it makes, you know, wines that are so layered and so complex, and they really just blow, in for the most part, you know, single single 100% Zinfandel wines, at least, they just don't have the amount of layering that you can get out of some of these old field blends. And in my opinion, the reason being that it works in our particular vineyards is we've got, you know, the Geiserville vineyard is pretty well the same soil, pretty well the same climate throughout the entire growing season. And if you think to yourself, if you had that particular vineyard planted out to 100% Zin, you'd have just, you know, maybe one or two different flavor profiles coming through from that vineyard. When you add all these different varieties in the old field blend kind of mentality, you've got, you know, tannin coming from the Petite Sirah, you've got some acidity coming from Carignan, you've got some really interesting color components coming from Alicante Boucher, some of these other older varieties, and then there's white varieties in there as well. Not much of them, but there's still some there. So all these different components are kind of, it's like adding to complexity for that particular site. Otherwise, it'd just be 100% Zin. Not saying that they're not, 100% Zins aren't any good. I mean, we've got a few that we make too, one out of Paso Robles that I'm in love with, but I feel like we can get consistently higher complexity out of these vineyards when we have different varieties thrown into the mix.
Very cool. Well, I like I said, didn't want to blindside you, but definitely something I wanted to ask.
No,
well,
no worries. I love talking about it. I mean, they're fun to farm. It's a little bit, you know, you've got to have a little bit of blind faith in them because you can't be there picking each individual Zin, you know, vine as it completely ripens perfectly. You kind of have to just say, hey, you know, some varieties within this block are going to do beautifully well and some are going to be a little bit poorer, but in the end, I mean, it turns out to be a really complex wine that always turns out to be the base for our Geiserville and even some of our Litton Springs wines. So.
Well, very, very cool. Well, yeah. Caleb, you are so entertaining and so engaging. I'm going to make you my go-to dirt guy. We're going to keep your cell phone number so we can always find you when we have a dirt question.
No worries. I'm definitely, I don't know how to go from there. I think I'm very dirty or what, but I'd be more than happy to talk to you about, how about soil?
Soil. We'll call you soil. Hey, you're well-soiled, Caleb. No worries.
Oh, that's even better.
Well, thank you very much for being part of the crush today, and like I said, you are truly part of the long run and the new generation we're seeing out there, and my hat's off to you. We'll talk to you soon, I promise.
Sure. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Take care.
All right. We're going to take a small break here on the crush. When we come back, we're going to wrap up today's show and find some other interesting news for you.
Need a wine recommendation for a party? Want Laura to address something on the show? Email her at lauralawson@winecrush.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
I have a structured settlement and needed my money. Waiting over time to receive payments wasn't working, so I contacted CBC Settlement Funding. They helped me turn my structured settlement into immediate cash. If you're receiving a structured settlement spread out over time and you want a lump sum amount immediately, you need to call now. I purchased a local bakery with my lump sum, a goal I thought I would never reach. Now I make my own dough. I always wanted to operate my own business, and thanks to CBC Settlement Funding, we are open for business. Structured settlements are commonly used to resolve personal injury lawsuits. Annuities are designed to spread payments out over 10 or 20 years.
If you have a structured settlement and you want cash now, call CBC Settlement Funding for fast cash today. 800-203-3517. 800-203-3517. 3517. 800-203-3517.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chomping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chomps through anything. Just put it on and instantly chomp through wood. Concrete. Brick walls. Trees. Small cars. It can even chomp through these 8 guitars. It chomps things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
This is the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory. I think we've had a great show today. Thanks again to Joel Aiken, who is now a winemaking consultant, and of course of Aiken Vineyards, and of course to Caleb Molesley from Ridge, the viticulturist, who actually has a personality. Thank both the gentlemen for being on the show. But it all does tie in to what we're trying to talk about today, and that's the long run of wine. And I think today's two guests, plus the strange emails we have received, shows us that in the long run, the voice of experience gets to shine through. Without the harnesses and without the preconceived notions that have been around for so long. Think about it. We mentioned in the long run, I think, cult wines, whether it was Harlan, they get to gain more acreage. With the crises going on, with all the dirt, with everything, it's definitely a chance for people to buy up some properties. I also think in the long run, we're watching wineries that are folding. Like Joel Aiken said, there was a time 2 years ago where every 9 months there was another 13 wineries opening. Were people doing this because they were loving and passionate and that's all they ever wanted to do with their life? No, they were bored and they had too much money. They were lawyers. They were real estate people who thought, I want to own my own vineyard. It'll be a status thing. In the long run, I don't think we're going to see those players around as often as we have. If your heart and soul's not in it, you're going to get out of it or you're going to be forced out of it. In the long run, we're going to see great legends branching off to do their own thing, whether it's Ed Sabraja at Sabraja Families or like today's guest, Joel Aiken, making Aiken Wines. You are looking at the generation who trained under the American pioneers, the ones who trained with Andre Teschelcheff, the ones who watched the Davies start, the ones who watched Napa in the 60s and the 70s come into what it is. These guys who broke the ground literally on what California wine would be now get to go out and do their own thing. These are the things to watch. In the long run, we're going to see what our legends can create. And also in the long run, we're going to see great people like the young Caleb Molesley who can bring passion and excitement in and couple it with the great legend that someone like Don Rising can do. This is what the long run of wine's about, and this is why you need to be part of the Wine Crush, because definitely we're going to help you stay in touch with it. Well, I'm Laura Lawson, and here at The Crush, we're reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.